Amen. I want to get into the Word of the Lord here today, and if you'll get your Bible with me. And I want to go to the book of Ecclesiastes, and I want to go to chapter 9, and then we're going to go to chapter 11. And let's look at the Word of the Lord, and feel like preaching to these young people on the front row and the second row here this morning. Praise God. Silence on the front row and the second row. That's all right. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. And we've read this before, but this is a very powerful scripture. Gives us motivation to continue on. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. There's no work, there's no device, nothing that you can create or make, no knowledge nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. We're all headed for the grave someday, folks. Amen. We have a limited amount of time to do what God wants us to do in this life. And so whatever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 5 and 6. Turn with me this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. We do not understand the works of God, but God understands his work this morning. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that. And that simply means that some things we do prosper and some things we do don't prosper. Amen. It's not a promise that everything is going to be smooth and exciting all the time, but he said, here's what we need to do. He said, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Amen. And I felt this in prayer a few days ago, and I kind of jotted down a few things here, but I just want to, it's a very simple message this morning, and I don't plan to go a long time here this morning, but I want you to focus with me on the Word of God, and I want to minister today from this title, Give It All You've Got. Give it all you've got. Amen. Because when we get to the grave, we're not going to be able to give anything. When we get to the end of the journey, we're not going to be able to work or labor for the Lord. We have a limited amount of time. And I don't know about you, but I want to do my best for God. I want to do my best for God. Let's pray together and let's ask for God's help this morning. Lord, we lean on you this morning. We thank you this morning for the touch of your Spirit. I ask you this morning, Lord, to lay your hand upon us and open the Word of God to our mind, open our ears to hear, open our spirit, Lord, to receive the Word of God. Give us courage to obey the Word of God. We give you thanks this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Praise God. Are you glad you're here today? It's good to see each of you here in the house of God. When we look at this and we look at God's will for our life, then we've got to look at life as the work of the Lord. Amen. The Bible says those that work on a job, you're not working for your boss, you're working for the Lord. That is, if you are serving God, you'll be working for the Lord. And so he is there to help you on your job. And I believe today, excuse me, that the work of the Lord is the most exciting thing that anybody could ever be involved in. Amen. Amen. We were there and we looked at Noah's Ark and we saw the vastness of that ship and the size and the magnitude and all of that. It really brings to the perspective the massiveness of God's will and the work of God and the will of God that is so far above us and so higher, so much higher than us, that we really can't comprehend it. I was doing a little bit of reading this morning, and they were talking about the Lord being our shepherd, and how when we talk about the Lord and how he made so many, many things when he created all things, the stars in the heavens, our star, which is probably one of the smallest stars in the universe. And not only that, he named every star, and he put them there to give light upon the earth. With the most powerful telescope that we have today, if we were able to transport it to the nearest star, which is the star Centauri, or Centaurus, I believe, and set up that telescope and look backwards towards the earth is so small that the telescope would not even be able to detect the earth. That's how small we are in this world or in this universe. And then you take you and I, we are just a speck on a speck in the universe. But God, in his wisdom and God in his love and his mercy, came down to this speck on a speck and said, I've got a will for your life. I've got a plan for your life. I've got a purpose for you. Amen. We're not here by accident, folks. Amen. We're not here by accident. We're here by divine purpose and the divine will of God. And so when we look at the Lord and we look at his desires, we can see that the Lord is interested in you and I doing his will while we are here on this earth, and I believe even after we leave this old world and we make it to heaven and we're with the Lord for all of eternity, there is going to be the will of God for us even there. Amen. We're not just going to be given a cubicle and we just sit there for all of eternity, but there will be praise and worship given unto God. There will be the plan and the will of God, whatever that is. Amen. And so as the created beings that we are this morning, humans, the mankind that God put upon this earth, we may as well get used to doing something. Praise God. We may as well get used to doing the will of God. And the Bible says we are laborers together with God. Amen. And I'm excited about that because he hasn't cast us out here by ourselves, but he's going to go with us and help us as we do the will of God. Amen. And when we are laborers together with God, God makes things happen that you and I can't make happen. He helps us to go over the top, so to speak, and to accomplish things that otherwise would not be able to accomplish. One of the parables here that gives us the will of God, but not just the will of God. I believe this morning it's more like the desire of God. If we could see God's desire and how much he wants to involve himself with us. Amen. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 2. Turn with me this morning. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 2. Very familiar parable here. One that we have read often and we have studied from often. The Bible says this, "And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables." Now here is wisdom that's been hidden from the beginning of the world, and the Bible says that he opened his mouth, and he said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Very simple, very elementary. But folks, if we could really get a hold of this morning, it is very, very profound. A sower went forth to sow. And so if we're going to work for God, then there is something that God wants you to do with your life. He wants you to do something within the framework of the church. Amen. He wants to do something within the framework of your family. And so we need to understand God's will here. And sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, everybody said when he sowed. Not if he sowed, but when he sowed. And a sower went forth to sow. I'm reminded this morning of another parable where the Lord said, I've got something to ask of you, Peter. And he said, yes, Lord. He said, one man had a son or a servant, I forget which it was. And he said, I need you to go and do something for me. And that servant said, yes, Lord, I'll go. But he didn't go. And the other was asked, he said, I need you to go and do something for me. And he said, no, I don't want to go. But then later he changed his mind and he went. He said, which of the two did the will of God or the will of the master? And he said, the one that actually went out and did it. And so we can't this morning, deceive ourselves into thinking that just because we come to church, that's all there is to serving God and living for God. It's not. Amen. Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, when he actually went out, put his hand in the pocket and began to scatter the seeds out. And he went out and he spent the day and he sweat. And it was toil, it was work, it was labor. And it wasn't altogether the easiest thing because he sowed among the thorns and he sowed among the rocky soil and he sowed among all of the different kinds, the wayside ground. He just went out and he began to sow. And so what we've got to understand this morning is that this is what we have been called to do. We have been called to sow the seed of the Word of God. Right. Well, praise the Lord. The sower is you and I, and the seed is the Word of God. And we don't have a guarantee of results this morning, but we do have a guarantee of a reward for being involved in the work of God. Amen. Much is said today about results, and much is said today about revival, and I do believe in revival. I've seen it in my life. I was born into a church, a revival church, and I know that God has his plan and his way. He wants to save every single person on this earth. Amen. But I do know that there are times and seasons. And I know that there are seasons when there is fruit, and there are seasons when there is no fruit. There are times when things are good, and times when it seems like it's not so good. Amen. And he sowed. Some fell among stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up. And because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. He interpreted this later on in chapter 13, and he said, these are those that don't have a deepness of roots. They're not really grounded. They're not really down deep in this. And when persecution or tribulations or troubles come along, by and by they are offended. Amen. And we can look at that situation and say, could we have done something different that this person was not offended? Could we do something different to help this situation? And so on and so forth. And maybe there's that possibility. But folks, I'm telling you, it is the will of God that we sow the seed of the Word of God. And it's not up to us to produce the results. It's up to the seed. It's up to the will of God. It's up to the plan of God and the purpose of God. Amen. That's why I think being a farmer is really exciting in one way, in that you get to see miracles happen all the time. You sow the seed and you wait. I planted some flowers the other day up beside the house and dug it down, and the direction said 6 inches under the ground, which is pretty far down. And so I dug the hole and I put it in there, covered it up. We've had rain, and it's raining a little bit this morning, and so I know they've got everything that they need. And after several days, there's nothing there. No results. Well, it would be easy to say there's no results, but you know, after you've done it for a while, you realize that something's going to take place. There's either going to be a complete rejection of the seed that you have planted, or there is going to be something that comes up. And in many cases, there is something that comes up, and we don't have to worry about the results. Amen. The thing of it is we need to worry about and when he went out to sow. Praise God. I got to get my hands involved in the work of God. I've got to get my feet involved in the work of God. I've got to be able to take the time to labor and to do the work and the will of God. Praise the Lord. And then there were those seeds that fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And the Bible said this is where the seed is sown in their heart. And the devil came and snatched the word before it even had a chance to germinate and to produce anything. And so what we've got involved here now, we have the devil involved in this. And so we're working against things here. Amen. There are things that are working against us. There are things that come against us. The hot sun, which is persecution. The hot sun, which is trouble, tribulation, the Bible says. And now we have those that that we talk to, that we sow the word of God to, and Satan comes along, and he works against us behind the scenes. If you're not careful, you'll get discouraged in working for the Lord and say it doesn't work. But I'm here to tell you it does work. It does work. God made seeds, and he said as long as the earth abides, harvest and the seed and all of that will continue. Amen. And then it says some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. So here we have thorns, and the thorns are the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. You can read that later on in chapter 13 there. And so we have the lure of the world, the lure of the deceitfulness of riches, and we have tribulation and persecution. We have the devil. We have all of these things that are against us. And it is easy, and I have fallen into this in the past, to become discouraged and to say nobody wants to hear the word of God, nobody's interested in the Lord, and we can point to the thorny ground, we can point to the rocky ground, we can point to the wayside ground, but it doesn't stop there. Thank God it doesn't stop there. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Do we have ears this morning to hear the word of the Lord? I pray that we will have ears to hear this morning. Amen. And so when we look at this today, our results are not up to you and I. Amen. But the labor is up to you and I. Praise God. It's not the results that represents anything one way or the other. It is not the seeming defeat that we suffer at different times and different situations, but it is the labor. Amen. It is finding what is in your hand. And if you'll put your hand in your pouch and pull it out, you're going to find there's some seed in there. And the Lord said, whatever you find in your hand, do it with your might. Amen. Do it with all that you've got within you, because others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Praise God. I'm willing to labor for the Lord. I'm ready and willing. Always have been. I remember getting in the church back in 1974, and I remember that one of the first things that they said was, we need a bus captain. And of course, you know, a young 19-year-old, you want to be the captain of something. Amen. And so I was the captain of the bus, and it was more than just driving around with a captain's hat on and your personal chauffeur driving the bus. They said, here's the keys to the bus. You get to drive the bus. Amen. So I got to drive the bus. I got to go out on Saturday and knock on doors and invite people, invite children to Sunday school. We had as many as 80 on that 66-passenger bus, packed out and brought them to the house of God so they could be taught the word of the Lord. And then just a few months after my conversion, I was asked, would you be a Sunday school teacher? Pastor wants you to teach Sunday school. And I thought, I've never taught anything in my life. I can barely learn what anybody has taught me. And so I got involved in teaching in Sunday school. I know what it's like. Amen. Then they asked me, or they made the plea, we need somebody to drive a bus for every service and go pick up folks that don't have a car and bring them to the house of God. And, of course, my hand was the first one to go up. And I already had the keys, and so I was the bus driver. And I drove every single service Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And if there were special services, I drove those. And I was working a full-time job, working overtime, amen, and going to church and praying late in the night. I remember coming back on a Sunday night after service. And, you know, Sunday night, that's when we wrap up the whole day. And by the end of the service on Sunday night, we're kind of tired. And I couldn't be tired because I had to go take folks home. But on the way home, I almost fell asleep behind the wheel. I was swerving back and forth trying to get back to the church. And I finally made it back the bus in and just laid my head down on the steering wheel of the bus. And just for a minute to relax, and fell dead asleep right there in the bus. I don't know how long I was asleep there, but it is not a foreign thing to me to labor for the Lord. I want to ask us here this morning, not as somebody that is condescending and looking down upon anybody else, but I want to ask you, what are you doing for the Lord today? What are you doing for the Lord? Oh, well, I come to church. I'm not asking about that. That's a given. That's a basic. Amen. What are we doing for the Lord? Are you giving? Are you doing with what you've got in your hand with all of your might? Praise God. Don't get quiet on me now this morning. I'm just trying to spur us a little bit and to encourage us unto good works. Amen. Because it is the will of God that we get a pouch on our side and we get some seed in there and we begin to share the word of God with others. A sower went forth to sow. And later on, the Bible says that when he opened his mouth, he spoke things that were hidden from the beginning of the world. Amen. Nobody had heard these things before, but now they are heard. I don't know about you, but I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. And I know that God is in this here today. This parable really puts everything into perspective. Amen. In that, not all labor has long-term results. I don't know how long it was before the sun came up and scorched it. I don't know how long it was before the thorns took over and choked out any fruit. I don't know how long it took for the good fruit to produce the fruit. Amen. But sometimes we look for instant results, and that's not the way God made it. Amen. Praise the Lord. It takes time for things to develop. These young people here on the front row, how old are you? 14. It's taken 14 years to get this boy to this point. 14 years, that's a long time. That's a lot of glasses of milk. That's a lot of bowls of cereal. Now, you know where I'm coming from now. Amen. A lot of days at work that mom and dad had to make money to provide and to buy. I was talking to Brother Carricker, and he's got one of his boys that's going to be as big or bigger than him. And I forget, I think he wears a size 15 or 16 shoe. And he's just a young boy. Ethan, I don't think he's as old as you boys. I don't remember how old he is. And he said, man, he said, my grocery bill is going through the roof. And I said, well, what you need to do is go down to the feed store and get your cereal in a gunny sack. Amen. Buy it in bulk. He said, I never thought about that. Because it would be easy to take a whole gallon of milk for that one boy and the whole box of cereal and eat it all for breakfast and be ready in a couple of hours. And when it's all devoured and it's all gone, he hadn't got any bigger. He's still the same size, but man, he's just eating and he's going to town with all of this. But then all of a sudden, after a period of time, all of a sudden there's a growth spurt. And it seems like overnight they wake up in the morning and they're 2 feet taller than they were when they went to bed. And their appetite grows overnight. Amen. And some of you can say amen this morning because you know what I'm talking about. You know where I'm coming from this morning. And, of course, it's not that way with all of them, but it's taken time. How old are you, Gavin? 15. It's taken him 15 years to get to where he has to wear that size of a suit. Amen. He didn't wear that size of a suit when he was one or two. Wore this little bitty outfit, I'm sure, and a lot cheaper, too. And didn't wear, what size shoe are those? 11s. Dear Lord, help us. I've got 9 1/2s. And I'm a little bit older than you are. Amen. That tells you the bigger the feet, the taller and the bigger they're going to be. Amen. Like a little puppy. If he's got big feet, you know he's going to be a big dog when he grows up. And there's just something about that. Praise God. Takes a lot of time. Amen. Takes a lot of energy, and it takes a lot of effort. You can't take these young people and say, well, they haven't grown up fast enough. We're just going to throw them away. We can't do that. We don't want to do that. Amen. But we have an understanding that things take time. And then when they get to a certain age, we really worry that they'll make the right decisions, that they'll do what's right, and follow through and produce fruit in their lives. Amen. It's quite a process. It really is. But the good thing about it is that this parable puts it all into perspective. Amen. Lets us to know that all labor does not have long-term results. Amen. But the labor that is done for the Lord has a long-term reward, and it's called eternity. Praise God. He's called us to labor, amen, by sowing the word of God to others and being a witness of the things that God has done for us. Has God done anything for you? Amen. You need to tell somebody about it. You need to wait and look for the opportunity to share what God has done in your life. Amen. Well, I'm just going to come to church. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, a sower went forth to sow. And that is the will of God for you and I today. I want to try to lift up our head this morning to the field. Amen. Because the field is white, all ready to harvest. Too often we look down at the wayside ground and say, oh, nothing's going to come of this. And sometimes we put our heads down and we look at all the stones that are in the soil. Sometimes we put our heads down and all we see is the thorns that have come up and the difficulties that have come up. Amen. The Bible says every person that lives for God is going to suffer tribulation. There's going to be difficulties. It's going to be the devil, it's going to be the world, and it's going to be our flesh that we will battle. The Scripture says that we are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Amen. And that is the way it is. The Bible also says that we are as sheep among wolves. Praise God. How are the sheep going to make it out of the hand of the wolf? There's only one way. Amen. Be involved and get close to the shepherd of your soul. Get close to the one who's got the weapon that can destroy your enemy. Well, praise God. Because as a sheep, you can't do anything against a wolf. The sheep don't have sharp teeth. They don't have claws. They can't run fast. Amen. If you'll look at sheep, they've got quite an interesting composition about them. But I'm telling you this morning, God has victory for His people if we will just do the very best with what we have. Amen. It's time to give it your all. Give it your all with what you've got before you. Amen. Praise God. And what we have is the Word of God. And as a little lamb or a little sheep in the fold of God's kingdom, as God has made us, and He is the shepherd of our soul. Praise God! He's given us a weapon, and it's called the Word of God. The weapon, the sword, is the Word of God. It is the discerner of the thoughts. It is the one that gives us the intentions of the heart. Amen. It's up to the seed to do the work. It's not up to me to do the final work and to produce the results. It is up to the seed. Amen. It's not up to me. I don't have to worry about the results. All I have to worry about is doing my part. Amen. God is calling our church to sow the Word of God. Amen. And so, since we have the Word of God, since we know the truth of the Word of God, we need to fit in where it says, and a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, praise God. Well, there's no revival in my life. Get some seed out and begin to sow it. Amen. Cast it out. Spread it out. Praise God. And don't be worried about the troubles and the difficulties that might be associated with working for God. Amen. Because I'm telling you, somebody is depending on you this morning. Praise God. There is the grave that is calling to us here this morning. And we can't do it, but if we could, there would be many voices from the grave that would say, give it all you've got. Because I didn't give it all that I had. And I went to the grave with lack in my life. Amen. Somebody's depending on you this morning. Eternity is calling you this morning. Children need to be in Sunday school this morning. Amen. Bible studies need to be taught. Praise God. Somebody needs to develop worship in their life so that we can have an atmosphere that sinners can come and receive the Holy Ghost very easily. Well, praise God. I'm telling you this morning, God has not called us to worry about the results, but He has called us today, amen, to just be a sower. Amen. Results will take place. A harvest will occur. Amen. When somebody takes what they've got in their hand and does something with it with all of their might. Amen. With all of your might. There's a call here this morning on these front two rows. There's a call this morning on upon every one of us here today to do the will of God and to work for the Lord. And I know as well as anybody how discouraging it can be, and how it seems hopeless and futile. Oh, my friend, but I'm telling you today, the seed has so much power. The seed can do things that are so awesome. I remember pastoring on the East Coast, and we pastored there for 5 years, and we had a limited amount of revival. I don't know how many, but probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 or 40 people that came into the church. And we were promoting Bible studies, and had a little situation, and I think it's illegal now for these robots to make phone calls. And I set it up for this robot to make phone calls so I could reach out to my whole community. I've got some ideas that I'm going to be trying here in the months to come. But within a three-month time, because of that outreach, we started about 30 Bible studies in our church. And, excuse me, and we were teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching, and nothing was happening. And on top of that, we developed some difficulties within the church. There was some murmuring that began to take place, and there were things that began to happen behind the scenes. And we would come to pray, and there would be no feeling there in prayer. And if you've ever been in a prayer meeting like that, it's not very good. I remember preaching from the pulpit and feeling like my words came out here and just fell to the ground. We had a church that knew how to worship, but all of a sudden everything shut down, and there was no worship, and there was no life. There was nothing seemingly. And so I began to press in prayer, and some of us began to press into prayer, and I began to thank God. I began to worship the Lord. I began to focus not upon the things that were happening at that point in time, but I began to focus upon the will of God for me. And the will of God for me was to teach Bible studies. And I was teaching, and my assistant pastor was teaching, and others in the church were teaching Bible studies. And it all came to a head, and there were some folks that left the church because they felt this way or that way. And I'm just giving you my own personal experience here this morning. But as soon as some of those things broke out and they were behind us, all of a sudden, things changed. There was a change in the atmosphere. There was a change in the services. And there was excitement that began to grow within the body of the church. Praise God. People began to come to the house of God and pray through to the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you this morning, if all you focus upon is the problem that is set before you, you're not going to do the will of God, because the devil can bring some big problems, and the world can bring some big problems, and situations and circumstances can produce some great difficulties that are before us. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. If God be for us, we can overcome anything. Well, praise the Lord. Let me show you what the will of God is here. Matthew chapter 20. And we're just using the scripture this morning. Praise the Lord. I love to hear that sound. Praise God. For the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 20, verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven. Everybody said the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder. A householder was someone that owned the house. He owned the vineyard. He owned property. He was a property owner and the master of his property. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder. And so, the householder this morning is Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. The householder is God Almighty, who has created all things, and he is in control of his property, as it were, and which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Everybody said early in the morning. Early in the morning. And I feel like by looking at the scriptures here, that early in the morning was about 6 o'clock in the morning. And so it started at 6 o'clock, and he went out to hire laborers into his vineyard. And so God is very interested in his vineyard, isn't he? He doesn't want it to suffer because of the lack of laborers. He doesn't want it to fall short because of the lack of laborers. But he wants people to get involved and to go and work for him. Well, I don't have time. Well, I'm sorry for you this morning that you don't have time to be involved in eternity. I've heard that so much, but I'm telling you today, if you can set your priority, you can do something for God. You can be involved in the work of God. And he went out to hire laborers into his vineyard, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. That's not a penny like we have today, but a penny represents a day's wages, the given day's wages of that time. So whatever your day's wage is, you can just plug that into it, and that's what it will represent. It wasn't a little copper penny, even though some of them aren't even copper anymore. Amen. So he went out at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then it says here he went out about the third hour, which was about 9 o'clock in the morning. Everybody said 9 o'clock in the morning. Amen. So he was very interested in his vineyard at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then at 9 o'clock in the morning, he was still very interested in his vineyard. He doesn't give up. This householder does not give up. He's not going to stop the plan. He's going to continue the plan. And if he can't find enough laborers at 6 o'clock, if some of them are asleep and the others don't come till 9 o'clock, then he's going to go out again at 9 o'clock. You can almost see this householder waking up earlier than 6 o'clock. Probably 4 o'clock, and he's got the energy and the drive and the will, and he says, I've got to get somebody today to labor for me. This is the will of God. This is the plan of God. I'm looking for someone that will labor for me. And so at 6 o'clock, he's out there ready. He's looking for men that are standing around waiting for someone to come and hire them. And so he goes back, probably tells them what to do. And 3 hours have passed, and it is now the third hour of the day. And he looks for some, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. I want to be a part of those that went their way. Amen. I want to be a part of those that hear the call from heaven that says, I need a laborer in my vineyard. I need somebody that will work for me. I'm looking for somebody that will lay aside everything else for the course of the day and seek the will of God for that day. And so it goes on. Again, he went out about the sixth hour. And so that was high noon. Amen. And then he went out in the ninth hour. And so that was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so you can see as this plays out, he goes out in the course of the day. And then about the 11th hour. And so another 2 hours. So that would make it 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And so all day long, this husbandman, this one who has invested his life into this vineyard, the one who has built up this tremendous kingdom, but he's got to have laborers. He has designed it so that there has to be laborers that will come and dress it, that will come and plant, that will come and pull the weeds out, and all of the menial and all of the important tasks, everything is involved in that. Praise God. I'm thankful this morning for all of you ladies that come and clean the church. It may seem like a menial thing to do, but I'm telling you what, you're laboring in the vineyard of the Lord. I thank God for everyone that comes, spend some time in prayer. You're a part of the kingdom of God and the work of God. Amen. But he has a desire here this morning. And so he went out, and at the 11th hour he went out. That's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He found others standing idle and said unto them, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" And they said unto him, "Because no man hath hired us." And he said unto them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive." Amen. And when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first." Amen. We could read an awful lot into this, but early in the morning till 9 in the morning, and then at noon, and then 3 in the afternoon, and then 5 in the afternoon. And even though the day was far spent and the night was at hand, the Bible says, "Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." Amen. Not so we can be involved in a parade, but so that we can go out and do the will of God in our lives. You're going to need a sword. You're going to need a shield. You're going to need some shoes. You're going to need a breastplate. Amen. You're going to need all of the things that are recorded in the Word of God so that you can get out and do a work for God. God did not give us our life just to live it for ourselves, but God gave us our life to live it for Him. Praise God. And His desire is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm cleaning the church because I want those that come here to see a beautiful sanctuary. I want them to feel the Holy Ghost, so I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship. I'm going to do the will of God. Amen. And so we see here that the owner is intent on getting laborers in his vineyard. A sower went forth to sow. It's as though it had been held upon the lips of God from the very beginning, and now he could gush it out of him and say, "Now, here's the will of God. Here's the work of God. Here's the plan of God." And it came out like a river, and they said, "Wow, no man has spoke like this man. We've never heard anything like this in all of our life." Praise God. And it doesn't matter if you're the first to go to work or you're the last one to show up. Praise God. Everybody's going to receive a reward. Everybody's going to receive a reward. Do you want to receive a reward? I want to receive a reward. I want to do the very best that I can with what is in my hand. Amen. The vineyard is his kingdom, and the laborers are people. Yes, they're unqualified people, but people who are willing to labor for the daily wage. There's something about God. He teaches us. He'll put a sword in your hand, but then the Bible says that David said, "He teacheth my hands to war." God showed him how to handle the sword. God showed him what to do with the equipment that he gave him. God showed Moses what to do with that unqualified stick that was in his hand. Throw it on the ground. That's all you've got to do, is just do what I ask you to do, and the results will be left up to God. It takes all the pressure off. Amen. It takes all of the stress off. I don't have to make things happen. Amen. If I'll do the work of God and the will of God, he said he would do the work and he would bring about the results. And so I'm going to put that all into the hand of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. The ones, here we have these unqualified people, but these are the ones that receive the reward. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to receive the reward.
Amen.
More than anything in all of my life, whether you like me or not, I want to receive the reward. I want to hear him say, well done, Greg Wirths. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And I'm willing to go through the tribulation. I'm willing to go through trouble. I'm willing to go through whatever it is that I need to go through. As it was with the Apostle Paul, he said, I'm going to show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I'm willing to suffer. Some of us are not willing to suffer, but I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to go through tribulation if that's what's needed. I'm willing to teach a Bible study if that presents itself. Deontay, don't get discouraged this morning. His brother came and received the Holy Ghost. His other brother came and prayed in the altar. And Wanye has come and prayed in the altar before. And we've been talking to them about Bible study, and they've decided that at this point they're not interested in a Bible study. And so we could say, well, it was a failure. You know what? Who filled him? Who filled Jay Sean with the Holy Ghost? It wasn't Pastor Wirths. It wasn't you, Deontay. It wasn't anybody else in this place. It was God Almighty that said, I'm going to come into you. I've got a plan for your life. I've got a purpose for your life. Amen. I cannot stand on the sidelines and judge God's work and say they shouldn't have received the Holy Ghost when God was the one that filled them with the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful that God filled that young man with the Holy Ghost. It means that he has a sensitivity to God that later down the road, as the seed begins to grow, that there may be some fruit that will come off of that plant. Praise God. It's just up to me to sow the word of God. It's just up to me to get a good evangelist to come that will preach the word of God and is good at sowing the word of God. Amen. It's just up to me to do my part. Amen. I've been called to pastor. I knew that before I left my home church. And that's all I've ever done is pastor. And so I know where I'm supposed to be. And I'm telling you, there are times that it's difficult. And there are times that it's easy. But it really doesn't matter anymore. Amen. Because I'm just doing what I feel like God's called me to do. And because of that, I ask you this morning, are you doing what God has called you to do? And if you don't know what you're supposed to do, take what's in your hand and do it with your might.
Amen.
Well, praise God. Whatever's in your hand, do it with your might. If there's a set of keys in your hand, then take that automobile and go pick somebody up and bring them to the house of God with you.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. If all you've got is just a scripture, write it down on a piece of paper and wait for the opportunity to give it to somebody in the course of your day. Oh, well, I'm too busy. You're right, you're too busy. Amen. Get a church card, and when somebody serves you, invite them to the house of God and give them that church card. Whatever is in your hand, do it with your might. Praise God. Because the day will come when we will find ourselves in the grave and we will not be able to worship. We will not be able to pray. We will not be able to share the word of God. We will not be able to get up in the morning and go and work in the field and in the vineyard of the Master. And so take the time that God has given you. The Bible says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. We're certainly living in evil days today. Oh, Lord, I feel His presence here this morning. We're living in evil days today. We're living at a time when Soviet Russia, that has over 6,000 nuclear weapons, missiles, that could destroy our entire country in 30 minutes' time, amen, has already posted a video of multiple warheads hitting Florida, and they said, we've got something that'll go so fast that nothing can stop it. I'm telling you, there will be a day that you and I will wish that we had done more for God than what we've done. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on us here this morning, not at all, but to stir up your mind, amen, and to stir up our spirit today to get out and to do something for the kingdom of God. And the ones that got involved, even the unqualified ones, maybe there were some that were qualified and they knew how to work in a vineyard, but the master taught them, if they didn't know, he was just looking for somebody that was willing. And he began to qualify them. I don't see very many people in the scriptures that were qualified to do the work that God called them to do. But I do see people in the Word of God that were willing to do whatever God had called them to do. David had never killed a giant. Moses had never delivered a people out of Egypt. Amen. Abraham had never been to the land that God called him to. And yet God used them and qualified them as they got involved. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. Turn with me this morning. And I want to read down through verse 17. It's a little bit of a reading here, but this is the word of the Lord this morning. Revelation 7 and verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Or where did they come from? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Everybody said, great tribulation. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him. See, we're going to serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. The only thing that is ascribed to these people that were robed in white robes, and you look in another place in Revelation, and it says that the white robes is the righteousness of saints. Amen. And so the quality and the accomplishment, if you please, of these that were arrayed in white robes, amen, was two things. They were in love with God, and they lived a life of righteousness before God, and they served God. There's nothing that records in here they pastored the largest church ever. There's nothing in here that says they won more souls than anybody has ever won. There's nothing in here that they were the greatest giver in the church. There's nothing in here about these accomplishments. But there was two things. They served Him day and night. They got their pouch of seeds and they just served Him. They got the vacuum out and they just served Him. Amen. They got the mower out and they served him. They got a Bible study chart out, and they just served him. Amen. They went to the hospital to visit someone that's sick because they were just serving God. Amen. They made a phone call and invited someone to the house of God. They were serving God. It wasn't because of any other thing. I'm just serving God. I just want to be somebody that can be used in the vineyard of my master to promote his vineyard, to promote his kingdom, to promote his work. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. That's what God's looking for this morning, is somebody that will look at what's in their hand and they will do it with their might. I'm going to do it with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then Ecclesiastes, we read it this morning. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, Ecclesiastes 11 and 5, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. We don't know the works of God. We don't know the results that God is doing. But in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. There's nothing that we know today about the results, about the plan. But I do know one thing, that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And I do know that when the opportunity avails itself and you simply invite someone to church, give them a card, or you write a scripture on a piece of paper and you give it to someone on your job or through the course of your day, whatever the situation is, I know that since God is leading his people in his vineyard, that that was a divine moment of time that was designed before the worlds were made, that person should get that invitation. Amen. That person should get that scripture. That person would be spoken to or witnessed to about the goodness of God and what God has done in your life. Is it up to me to figure out all of those little details? Thank God it's not up to me to decide all of that or to figure all of that out. It's just my goal and my call today to just simply work for God. Come on, somebody. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. I'm going to finish here this morning. I told him I'd probably be through a little bit early. Dear Lord, I need to quit saying that. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. We preached about this here the other night. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit, there's the laborers right there. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, everybody said in due season. That's in God's timing here. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. And so working for God is not just reaching out to those that don't know the Lord, it's reaching out to those that do know the Lord. And to do good, amen, unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith, especially to your brother in the church, especially to a sister in the church, especially to the ministry, especially to the laity. Amen. We should be thinking and ready and waiting to do the work of God, to bless somebody, to go out of our way to encourage and edify and strengthen Amen. Somebody who may be weak, who may be disturbed, who may be going through tribulation in their life, we have a golden opportunity today. Something is in your hand. Amen. There's somebody sitting beside you. That's somebody in your hand. There's somebody sitting behind you. That's somebody that's in your hand. Amen. There's little children that God has given to you. They're in your hand today. They're in your hand today. Praise God and do it with your might and don't slack up. Amen. Because we have a golden opportunity to keep our lamps full and to be faithful with the things that we have. Amen. And if we are, eternity will be something great. Amen. Give it all you've got. That's my message this morning. Give it all you've got. It's not time to back up. It's not time to give up. There's never a time to give up. There's never a time to back up. Amen. But it's always time to get involved in the vineyard. And if all you can find to do is to pray, make a list of people that need prayer and go to God in prayer and pray for those people. Praise the Lord. Call their name out. Literally call their name out and ask God to bless them and to strengthen them and to help them. Amen. And your reward will be great in heaven if we do the work of God. Let's stand together this morning. Can we stand together? Praise God. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord right now. Can we do that? Oh God, we need you this morning. God, we need your presence this morning. We need your touch this morning. We need your hand upon us this morning, Lord. We need your hand upon us this morning, Lord Jesus. God, you've called us. We may be small in number, but you've called us with your great power and anointing. You've given us the powerful Word of God. You've given us the awesome Word of God. You've given us power in the Holy Ghost through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've given us the love of God. You've given us the mercy of God. These are things that are in our hand today. These are things that you've blessed us with. Help us, Lord, to take what's in our hand and use it with all of our might, with everything that's within us, to focus our attention upon the work of God and the will of God and the things of God. In the things of God. Can we just lift our voices one more time? I just feel the presence of the Lord here this morning. It's not shouting and running, but I'm telling you, God is speaking to our hearts this morning. Help us, Jesus. That's it. Let's lift our voices this morning.